This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Calling Grass Nation, we are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Millie Tamara.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can literally do anything else with your time.
Anything else. It's all your time back.
The time is yours, yes.
And if you like what you hear today and you want to hear more, we've got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with all of our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. The most recent one is on the Tarte influencer trip that was voted on by the $10
Tarte
patrons.
Tarte influencer trips.
Because
apparently a lot of drama happened in all their influencer trips.
Yeah.
And we got down to
And we got into it.
We got into it.
It's all on the Patreon right now.
It's all on the Patreon. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love reviews.
We love them.
We need more of them. We're insatiable.
Can't get enough.
Can't get enough. We got a 1. I'm never going to forget that 1.5-star review that we got that we feel like was
someone who's a grasshole. Yes. They did list their name as Jiminy Longfellow. I don't think that's a real name.
That's not a real name.
I'm going to come out hard and say Jiminy Longfellow is a nom de plume.
And, yeah, I know. And also their criticism was like, they only view things in their point of view.
That's why we started a fucking podcast, guys. The whole point of getting on mic, babe.
Yeah.
I'm going to say somebody else's point of view.
Listen, I was like, you know what? And then it's like everything goes down to race. And it's like, okay, actually, what would a podcast be like if two Latino women were hosting it and was like, actually, let's think about the racist point of view. What does this racist white man think of this?
Anyway,
I can't be objective.
I can't wait to hear Jiminy Longfellow's podcast.
Jiminy Longfellow, listen, this is Go Touch Grass. This is not the Daily sponsored by ExxonMobil, okay?
Yeah, this isn't the Jiminy Longfellow hour.
This isn't the Jiminy Longfellow. This is Go Touch fucking Grass.
And listen, we have a really exciting guest We've been teasing this guest for weeks. We are super excited to have the charismatic host, innovative producer, skilled photographer, and journalist who focuses on threading together elements of culture, politics, and music. But most importantly, Millie wrote this. Is he a super fan of you, or are you a super fan of him?
He's a super fan of me.
Okay, great. Yeah. I thought I was like, I'm not. Most importantly,
we're both ways. But he is also a super fan of Millie.
Most importantly, the Millie super fan, who is also the recipient of super fandom from Millie, it's Jacques Morel!
Yay, Jacques Morel!
I feel like y'all are parents and your audience are children and I'm Santa Claus.
Wow, yes. That's so true.
Wow, you know?
Because we did say,
that.
If you guys are bad, he's not coming on the podcast.
There will be no beef talk in this house if you guys do not do your homework.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tooth fairy.
But guess what? Everyone was really good. Everyone was well behaved. Everyone has been so good.
And you know what? We were teasing this so long. People are like, well, we want to hear more. We want to hear why Olivia Rodrigo and Sabrina Carpenter are beefing. And they're like, oh, that's a whole other podcast.
It did make me think, though, like, do other genres beef? I haven't Googled
this.
Yes,
they do.
They do?
I hate this discussion.
But on lyric, on music, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Mariah Carey, Eminem. Yeah. We got Brand New and Taking Back Sunday versus Brand New.
Okay.
And literally similar to like pedophile shit. Like they're calling each other pedophiles and stuff.
I guess I would say like pop girlies. I mean, Taylor Swift, I will say, probably brought...
Didn't she just dump a diss track against Kim Kardashian? Wasn't that a thing?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I would say that Taylor Swift brings a hip-hop level diss ability to her songs. Not necessarily, like, ability, but, like, I feel like other beefs in other genres, it's a little bit more coded, whereas Taylor Swift will be like... This song is about Kim Kardashian, I'm capitalizing the letters and the names of the song so that you know that it's about her. And, I do feel like there's a lot of similarities in how this Drake and Kendrick beef has played out and the way that people dissect, like, a Taylor Swift song to try to figure out who it's about and who exactly she's talking about. Yeah. And be like, when she references a red scarf, that's Jake Gyllenhaal.
I think so.
She left her red scarf at Maggie Gyllenhaal's house.
Okay. So I think, before we get started on the beef talk, I'll just say that the difference, I feel like, there's in everything, in every genre, the difference with hip hop is that they will name the name.
Yeah.
Like, Taylor Swift will capitalize names and hint, and we all know, but hip hop will be like Kendrick, Drake, like rhyme things with Drake and Kendrick.
Yeah.
Specifically, rhyme their social security, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, but anyway, let's talk about Jock before we get into the
topic. Yeah,
because listen, once you get Jock started on beef, once you get it won't stop. Once you get Elise started on Taylor Swift, it won't stop. Yeah. Once you get me started on Apple phones, I won't shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Wait, no, you had an Android. You have an Android.
No, I do have an Android, and I will not shut the fuck up.
See, about I'm a super fan. I knew that.
Huh? Yep.
I knew that.
Millie, super
this
fan.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying, guys. I'm not an inflated ego, yes. Well, my ego is as inflated as somebody who has a podcast is. But, Jux, I say that you're a super fan of me because you're one of the early adopters, early supporters of Millie, but also of the All Dick is Trash movement. The real ones know.
Yes.
The real ones know, which was a
shout out to the real
sketch,
ones,
a sketch that I did in 2016 where I made a fake TED Talk and I said the thesis was All Dick is Trash. Yes. And it was like viral for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I sold a bunch of t-shirts.
I still have it.
Merch was sold.
I sold merch and Jock was one of the first people to buy a shirt.
Yeah.
So this is why I say he's a super fan. He's a Millie. He's there supporting me. But this is my question.
Okay.
It was acknowledging first, applauding and acknowledging that you were an early Millie adopter. And then also, I would classify that any man that wears an All Dick is Trash shirt is a feminist. And the fact that you were doing it in 2017 before the toxic men really adopted feminine aesthetics to manipulate people. I would say, you're a feminist. So what my question is, how do you reconcile being a feminist and covering hip hop music?
It's like you kind of like exist in like multiple worlds at once. Like I feel like you try to prioritize voices of women and when they're talking about it and like in the discourse itself, and like also just acknowledge that the music is inherently flawed. And you know, it's like, yeah, like I'll be honest, it's like I love Future as a rapper, but he has like 10 kids and he's an incredible womanizer, and I haven't heard of him being abusive, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, you kind of draw lines. Like, I don't listen to some people anymore. I don't listen to Kodak Black.
Well, you know? We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Like, I don't listen to Kodak Black, and I like Kodak Black's music, but, you know, I don't listen to his music. It's like a very active it's like a very active, it's a very active experience. And but also passive at the same time. You're kind of just like, damn, like, this is just not good.
I think that existing in multiple spaces at once, because there are so many things, like, inherently homophobic, inherently, I mean, not just hip-hop, I'm just saying, like, even inherently, like racist and all these things that exist that, like, to have any kind of fandom or, you know, like, you kind of have to mute that a little bit just to fucking enjoy. And I will say, right, I feel like I'm a pretty strong feminist, and I was fucking shocked. I know I clown a lot. I clown Elise a lot because Meghan Trainor showed up in her Spotify rap last year.
Yeah, that's true. And someone did comment on the Patreon and say that they too were afflicted with Meghan Trainor in their Spotify rap. So it's happening. It's happening. I'm bringing a voice to
all about that bass.
No, it was the
It was the other one that was designed.
I made you look some.
Yeah, the one that's like, I'm Gucci. She got me with that one.
She got Elise, but this is where I'm going to be vulnerable, Elise, mm-hmm. because I know I've been clowning your vulnerability.
Thank you.
I consider myself a huge feminist. One year, what happened? I got a Spotify email. You're in the top 5% of listeners to Future.
And I'm like, yeah, I need man. To
because, listen, Dirty Sprite 2, that was in the first...
Purple Rain.
Oh my God, that album. Future the first Hendrix. Track was basically post Ciara breakup, and he was like, "I love Lean more than I'll love any woman."
Yeah.
And it was like inject that to my veins.
I'm gonna choose the dirty over you. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's what he said. I'm gonna choose the dirty.
And I'm
over
like,
you.
and I'm top 5% So listen, calls coming from inside the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
But
yeah.
I'm just like, I wanted to know how you dealt with it, and that's a real. Real great.
Yo, he is Future's a hip hop pioneer that's incredibly problematic, but like, you know, rest in peace, Rico Wade. He mm-hmm. just died from Outkast, right?
Okay.
He was like one of the pioneers of the of their first album, right? Mm-hmm, Super mm-hmm. Cadillac. I can't believe I'm forgetting it, but
wow.
You know what I mean?
Hip hop journalist.
Please do not pull my hip hop journalist card. Super Cadillac music and then the Dungeon Family, and Future was in those sessions.
Mm. Wow.
Like, Future's cousins of Rico Wade, like, Future was in those sessions. Like, so a lot of people, like, kind of, like, saw Future as, like, this bastion of, like, rap, like, being torn away from, like, its, you know, roots. But, like, hip-hop is, Future's very, very much part of its roots. Like,
and I'll just say this. He's a pioneer in hip-hop specifically because he raps about what severe depression looks like.
Oh, you listen to Cody and Crazy?
Yeah, because honestly, his beats are bangers, but all the lyrics are incredibly sad.
It's like sad and muddled and just like, self-immolating.
It's
and
terrible,
like,
but yeah, the songs are really fun.
Well, I mean, I just feel like with hip hop or any art form, yes, I am thinking about J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter. I'm the dork on
the podcast.
Don't
get her started on
that. I'll be on my soapbox. But it's like, art is created by people. People are imperfect. So I feel like when you're engaging with art, it is kind of this constant conversation of like, where is the threshold for saying, okay, I actually can't listen to this artist anymore versus like, all right, I recognize that this person has some problematic beliefs, but the art means enough to me. Like, I feel like that there is like a constant negotiation. Yeah.
I feel like I've been like kind of dancing on this thought for a while, but I feel like we're like in some ways in like, not in a post-cancellation world, but like we're like in a Scarlet Letter world. It's like, you just know all of these things that people have done and you just got to like make the conscious choice whether or not to engage with what they have done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
Scarlet Letter, that's a really great thing because, you know, they're still fucking. the priest and that woman were still fucking.
You know, right?
But she had that big ass A. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, podcast. Like even like, yeah, with Harry Potter, mm-hmm. right? J.K. Rowling, right? It's like when she like unleashed her turfness all those years ago.
Truly unleashed, like, is a great word.
Came out of nowhere. It was like,
never put it
one day, J.K. Rowling was this author that was homeless and made the biggest series for kids of all time, and then the next day she was a raging turf
in
and
a castle.
Yeah, so
it's in a castle.
No, sure, you know, and then there was like a brief period where it was like, we can't fuck with Harry Potter anymore, which was like, you know, warranted. But then after a while, it's kind of like, yo, this was like the lifeblood of my childhood.
This is literally Elisa's one-hour show.
Yeah, my one-woman show is literally this is me being like, what do I do?
But it Elisa is almost got a snitch tattoo. The tattoo of a golden snitch.
But luckily, I didn't.
But that's how big of a super fan she was.
But that's the thing, right? It's like, you know, so I don't know. I feel like, and I feel like I'm totally open to criticism for that. So if someone's going to come in my DMs and be like, or my comments, be like, oh, you, how could you say you're feminist and you still listen to Future? I'm like, that is true. You know what I mean? Like, how could you say like you support trans people and you still enjoy Harry Potter? Like, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like you just are forced to engage with all these things. And I think it also makes you think critically about the beliefs that you have and the work that you are putting out into the world and how people will engage with you on some of the beliefs that maybe that they may not fuck with, right? So it kind of forces you to constantly think critically and, you know, and I feel like even shutting your brain off is a form of thinking critically because it's like you are actively choosing to shut that part off, but it's always there speaking up to you, being like, just like, don't forget, like, future is 10 kids. You know
what I mean? But I mean, yeah, the shit that speaks to you in this critical,
yeah,
and the shit that goes off in a club. The Venn diagram is small.
Oh yeah, I mean, we're gonna talk about it. Like,
yeah,
you know,
we're
like,
gonna talk about it.
The number one song on the planet right now is one rapper, the biggest rapper on the planet, calling another rapper, no, being called, because Kendrick wasn't the biggest rapper on the planet, it was Drake, being called a pedophile. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That makes you have to shut your brain off. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Okay, one more question for you before we dive right into beef talk. So you mentioned your DMs, your comments. You are, you know, you're on a bunch of different platforms: TikTok, Insta, Facebook.
Yeah.
As you've been covering this, have you noticed any difference between, like, how people respond to your content on different platforms? Do you notice, like, oh, there are more Drake fans on TikTok or Instagram, or is it all the same?
That is a great question. I feel like the comments on Instagram are more personal because more people know me, like, in person.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Instagram, I've been on it for, like, oh my god, like 12, 10 years, 15 years at this point. Like, so more people know me in person, so it's more personal. And, like, I love the people that follow me on TikTok. Everybody that follows me is a real one, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's more like, oh, Jacques, like, you know, so there's, like, there's more grace that's extended to me.
Mm.
And there's more,
they,
like,
see you as a person.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like a content machine.
Exactly. And on TikTok, it's more people that know me from the work I did at Genius.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And, which is also on Instagram as well. Mm-hmm. But, like, more people that know me from the work I did on Genius. And because, like, TikTok, it's, like, you just get thrown into, like, a soup of just content. Like, it's a lot of, like, people just, like, watching half of the video and just firing off a take. Or people just saying, like, you're biased and they don't watch the whole thing. Or people reiterating something that you say, like, at 90 seconds into the video, but they just only watch 20 seconds of it.
So a lot more dummies on TikTok.
I would say, no, but honestly, yeah, because, like, TikTok is, like, it's, like, TikTok is, like, very just low vibrational in some ways.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and...
Wow, deep. And that's why America's trying to ban it.
I mean, America... but the thing is, like, the crazy part about that is, like, America should just be putting, you know, stricter restrictions on every single platform.
That's what we talked about the on data, this you know? But it would be funny if Joe Biden was like, the reason we're banning TikTok is because it's low vibrational.
Let's put a pin in low vibrational, because that's a whole internet term that's used on Black Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's low vibrational food.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a whole thing.
It's like very low vibration. And a lot of the takes that people have too, because it's just like, because a lot of it is
ignorant.
It's because a lot of people are just like, it's very performative to, like, incense, to, like, to go viral. Because, like, TikTok is, like, and we will get off this, I promise, but TikTok is, like, the first time that the going viral was turned into, like, a lottery sweepstakes.
Yes.
Where any one person could go viral. Whereas before, 5-6 years ago, you had to actively work to build up an audience, to build up a subscriber base. And therefore, that subscriber base would be fed your stuff because they subscribe to see you.
Mm.
Whereas on TikTok, it's like, and this has been happening to me with the Kendrick stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't talk about, like, this beef, no one's seeing my shit.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I mean? They only care about, like, the algorithm only cares about what I serve because people are searching for that stuff.
Yeah.
So people are seeing me through that. So I'll do videos on, like, I love F1, and people, like, 1 or 10 people will see it. And one person will be like, I had no idea you love F1. But I have dozens of videos on F1, but they don't see that.
The racing.
Exactly, yeah. So it's just like, you know.
I have to explain it.
Oh, no, totally. So, yeah, that's, like, that's the thing. Like, these algorithms, like, that's why I say TikTok is very low vibrational, because it's, like, it's very, like, what is in vogue at the moment? What are people piling on at the moment? And everybody else just kind of making TikToks that are, like, a little bit left or right of that thing to go viral onto that stream of content.
Yeah. It's also, like, a very passive platform, and that you're just, like, sitting back and being served stuff, and you're, like, you're seeing faces where you're like, I don't know how this person got to me, or, like, again, they don't know your body of work, or where what you said already on this topic, it's hard to even see sometimes, like, when the video you're watching was posted.
Oh, yeah, because sometimes it's like, I'll get this thing and I'm like, this is old, and then I look and it's like from fucking March.
Yeah. You gotta check, like, the comments to see when it was posted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that happened to me with this sick goldfish that I was being served a lot of videos about this sick goldfish, and I was like, damn, I hope this goldfish is okay. And then I finally went to the page and I realized that these videos were 2 months old and the goldfish was dead.
The goldfish was dead,
And I was like, damn, I really invested a lot of time
really
in this sick
goldfish.
Yeah.
Goldfish.
I feel like TikTok has, like, contributed to the general devaluing of creative content.
Mm.
And I love TikTok. I love the app. But I think it's like contributed to the general devaluing of creative content and how it's flattened everything. And because like you just like kind of enjoying like a soup of content, like you don't watch individual creators, you just watch TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Yeah.
Wow. And later we will report that Jock has a Chinese spy balloon outside of his apartment. Yes. Okay. So as promised, let's get into the discourse. As promised, we are going to cover the Drake versus Kendrick beef. Ooh. Now, Elise and I aligned that we didn't want to get into a line-by-line breakdown of every song because that would be so long.
Exhausting.
But we wanted to talk about generally how the internet and social media weighed into the conversation and give some overview. So we want to give like a key point timeline thing so people can know what we're talking about. So I split the timeline into three phases, and we're going to give broad reflections on each phase, and then we'll move on to a more nuanced conversation about the social media's reaction to this, and who do you feel, both of you have won this.
Mm. Okay, cool.
Okay, so phase one encompasses from 2011 to April 2024. So... So in 2011, Kendrick features on Drake Take Care album, Buried Alive interview, and initial tension was hinted in those lyrics. Then in 2013, Kendrick ignites the feud with his Control verse, directly calling out Drake among other people.
Also, I want to jump in. 2011, Drake also took Kendrick Lamar on tour with him in Club Paradise.
Okay, mm-hmm. So there was an alliance there.
Yeah, wow, it's, see, it's like he's a little brother type vibe, yeah.
Wow, see, this is mm-hmm. why... We have the hip-hop journalist. 2013 BET Awards, Kendrick disses Drake during a cypher, adding fuel to the fire. In October 6, 2023, Drake releases First Person Shooter on his For All the Dogs album, praising him and his peer status, which Kendrick does not appreciate, particularly saying that Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick are hip-hop's big three.
Can I jump in? Is this fine?
Well, yes, you can jump
you
in.
You can jump
yes.
in.
Oh, well, really quickly, it was like dubbed as the big three. It was like an internet thing.
Yes.
As like the
and
three
then Drake
of them.
Acknowledged it.
And Drake acknowledged it.
So it wasn't like he made it up.
Yeah, and like...
That's important context.
It was, and like on the Control verse... Like, Kendrick, it's all been, like, subliminals. Mm. The reason why I jump in, I don't mean to, like, mansplain.
No,
I'm
wow.
so sorry.
You're getting your feminist card taken away.
Yeah.
Your hip-hop journalist card is out, but your feminist card is getting taken away.
Important for, like, the context. Because,
no, this is good context.
Because it lives underneath the surface. So
yeah,
it's like,
so there's, like, digs.
Exactly. They're, like, you know, like, they're just throwing shade in, like, a subtle way. So Kendrick would, like, you'd be listening to lyrics, like, who's he talking about here? And he could be talking about Drake a lot of the times, you know?
Okay.
But yeah.
That's the Taylor Swift method.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Taylor Swift
method. Yeah. I mean, Kendrick has made songs with Taylor Swift.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's you know, hey,
factors
hey,
in.
For the Swifties,
I
drop
know that
down.
Factors
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
And give me 50. Okay, that's phase two. Shut up, Billy. Okay. So in March, so the First Person Shooter comes out October 2023. March 22nd, 2024, this year, Kendrick responds sharply in Like That from Future and Metro Booming's We Don't Trust You, distancing himself from the big three of rap, which includes Drake, leading to escalated tensions. The lyric... Some paraphrases, there's no big three, it's just big me, you know?
Bum.
Bum.
Yeah.
Then April 5th, 2024, J. Cole, you know, releases 7-Minute Drill on his Mightily Later album, which criticizes Kendrick's discography, but later retracts the diss and apologizes at the Dreamville Festival, reflecting on his statement and saying he doesn't want any problems, and he apologizes and respects Kendrick. So now I'm going to ask you guys.
And seeing the writing on the wall. In
seeing
a way,
the writing
being
on
like,
the
I'm
wall.
About
yes,
to get.
Yes, very much so.
So I'm going to ask you guys, for phase one, mm-hmm. any moments stick out to you? And, so any moments stick out to you? Any key things that, you know, I didn't cover, which you already talked about? And then also, at the time, J. Cole, the internet... clowned J. Cole, and we got into this in mm-hmm. our Patreon episode about how the internet clowned J. Cole for backing down, especially backing down so quickly from the Kendrick beef, especially since he doubled down and tripled down his comments towards female rapper No Name a few years before, who called both him and Kendrick out for not making public Black Lives Matter statements. So, like, again, what we talked about on the Patreon is, like, comparing how quickly J. Cole recoiled versus how he tripled down on No Name and made fun of her for reading too much. So now, I'm going to ask thoughts and prayers and actions and comments about Phase 1 to both Elisa and Jock.
Well, Phase 1 I learned about from you in our Patreon episode.
We didn't even get into the 2011 stuff.
I know. But so, honestly, just the biggest, like, funniest top line thing to me is the J. Cole getting involved and then going, you know what, actually, this is going to get really fucked up I'm gonna say sorry in public and get the hell out of here.
Which,
The funny thing is, like, it's like Cole was, like, completely destroyed for that. Like,
yeah, he was.
Left, right, and center. Like, everybody completely tore him down for that. And I remember I made a video at the time. I was like, why would he apologize? But I also was like, you know what? Like, maybe he... And I have this in the video. I've been so happy about my coverage of this. And I have this in the video. I'm like, maybe he had a conversation with both of them. And he was like, maybe I don't want anything to do with this.
Well, and, you know, again, exactly. That's one of those things where, like, in the moment he was getting clowned. But the fact that there's three phases and we're only on phase one shows that he made a good decision.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the digs, like, oof.
Yeah.
But also, he's still a bitch for everything with No Name. And, like, he's just not a diss rapper. And that's okay. But, like, don't get into the ring. It's just lame to get into the ring and then recoil. And then also not to recoil for a woman who actually had good points, you know?
It's like a typical, you know, machismo hip-hop thing. And, like, you know, J. Cole and a lot of these rappers, honestly, are very much, like, dudes that are successful, but that got successful without, like, reading books.
Yeah, of course.
You know what
of
I mean? Course. Like, without, like, reading books. So, like, when, like, No Name called Cole out for being, like, a mile wide but an inch deep, you know, like,
mile wide but an inch deep, exactly.
You know, effectively, like, you know, or even like when Jay-Z, like, he did his he did like a an interview, not an interview, he did like a Twitter Spaces thing, and he said capitalist is a slur they call Black people, we get like, they get like too uppity, effectively.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, bro, how are you like a billionaire but you don't know what a capitalist means? Like,
yeah, it's no, like complete idiot.
It's like kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like you're rich and famous and you got rich that way because you didn't have to, like, read, you know? Yeah. And, you know, you just get to, like, paint with...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths but have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Audible's best of 2024 picks are here. Discover the year's top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals in all your favorite genres. From memoirs and sci-fi to mysteries and thrillers, Audible's curated list in every category is the best way to hear 2024's best in audio entertainment. Like a stunning new full cast production of George Orwell's 1984. Heartfelt memoirs like Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's Lovely One. The year's best fiction like The Women by Kristen Hanna. And Percival Everett's brilliantly subversive James. Audible. There's more to imagine when you listen. Go to audible.com/imagine and discover all the year's best waiting for you.
Broad strokes.
And I'm not going to say, read is probably like a really broad, but what you mean is like even think critically and like question the systems around you that are already and challenge and all this stuff.
And they do that, but like there's also like
in their male, like Black male point of view.
Black male point of view, right, exactly.
Very limited.
And also too, it's like there is like, you know, you weren't like, if there's like, you have to like, if you got to talk about a lot of these things, you have to like read. And No Name does the reading.
Yeah.
Like,
she
No Name
comes in
there. Book club. That's really good. And she, you know, again, we talked about it, talks about, like, the thing about Jay-Z is that, you know, one of his biggest songs, 99 Problems, it talks about like police brutality and systemic racism against black people, which is great, but then again continues to like not question any other structure beyond that, just that like he doesn't like getting pulled over, where No Name has a book club where they read Angela Davis and all these things that actually engage in stuff, and she can have a more nuanced discussion, like not only just talk about it in her raps, but also talk about it at large.
Mm-hmm.
And then these guys make fun of her for it, which is ridiculous.
I mean, you know, because like when you feel like you're out of your depth, that you start making fun of people. That's what the class clown was, right? The class clown was someone that was like out of their depth, so they started just like making fun and poking fun. So
that is true.
You know what I mean? So
don't look at me. I was a class clown finalist. I didn't actually win. I was nominated for class clown. The woman who won though is a super hot CrossFit influencer now, and it's super not fair.
Oh.
And she has 800,000 followers on Instagram.
That's insane.
But it's also a little like
I don't care, guys,
but it's like a similar thing, right? You could get like 100,000 followers on like Instagram, and like you don't really have to be like that smart to do that, you know what I mean?
And honestly,
which is not a problem, you know?
Honestly, sometimes I wish I didn't know as much, because it really makes the world
it's burdensome
for real.
You can't shut your brain off when you're listening to Future.
I can't even go on vacation. I'm like, how much are they paying these workers?
Oh,
I'm like,
goddamn, yeah, for
sure. Please just enjoy the beach.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
But, man, you know, there's Lexapro for that. All right, guys. Phase two. From April 12, 2024 to April 30th, 2024. Again, the phases went from 10 years to
hockey stick growth, exactly. As they say in the tech industry.
Yeah. I don't even know. When I go on a date with a tech guy, I shut my brain off and dissociate. Okay. He talks a lot about tech. I'm like, okay. April 12th, 2024, Future and Metro Boomin drop "We Still Don't Trust You" featuring tracks from A$AP Rocky and The Weeknd with veiled disses towards Drake, indicating a broadening conflict. April 13th, Drake responds with "Push Ups," dropping "Give Me 50," targeting Kendrick, Future, The Weeknd, J. Cole, Rick Ross, and others in a comprehensive diss track. The track was originally leaked on the 13th, with many questioning whether that leak was AR generated, but the official release came out on April 19th. Personally, I liked Push Ups, and we'll talk about that later. I thought it was really great.
Yeah.
April 13th, Rick Ross releases Champagne Moments to DJ Academics. Problematic. There's a lot going there with DJ Academics. Oh. We talk about DJ Academics on one of our episodes. But
our free pinned discourse episode. If you're like, who is DJ Academics? Go to the Patreon. It's up for free.
And guys, guess what? Rape allegations against him right now as we speak. Yep. Just came out last week.
Sued
we'll
for
move
it.
On.
We'll move on. Yeah.
Well, and are you surprised now that you know who he is, Elise?
Not after we unpinned the discourse.
After we unpinned it. Guys, check out. Okay. DJ Academics featured it on his stream, emphasizing Ross's rapid response to Drake's leaked push-ups in the track. Rick Ross mugs Drake for allegedly ghostwriting, references his supposed cosmetic surgery, and criticizes Drake's identity and authenticity. He suggests a deeper betrayal in the relationship by touching on both professional and personal backstories. That's the Rick Ross April 13th track. On April 19th, Drake releases Taylor Made, a diss track featuring AI-generated voices of Tupac Shakur and Snoop Dogg aimed at Kendrick. Shakur's verse criticizes Drake while encouraging Lamar, and Snoop Dogg chides Lamar for his slow response. Drake suggests Lamar's delay is to avoid classing with Taylor Swift's album release.
Yeah.
Following a cease and desist from Tupac Shakur's estate, which condemned the use of his likeness, Drake removed song from all platforms. April 21st, Kanye joins the feud with a remix of "Like That," takes a jab at a bunch of people. It escalates the feud, but revives Kanye's personal professional animosities toward Drake. Not a lot was made about the Kanye thing. Again,
yeah, I actually did not realize that Kanye.
I didn't either, but you know, because everything I see about Kanye and him and his butt naked wife walking around
the room
no shoes on.
It's very exhibitionist.
Something.
I almost wanted to be like, yo, blink if you're.
Also giving vertigo with the wife looking exactly like Kim K.
Yes.
A pin in. We haven't even talked about Kanye on this podcast.
I know, we haven't talked about Kanye, oof, the wife situation, any of that.
April 30th, 2024, Kendrick releases Euphoria,
yeah.
a brutal diss track targeting Drake. The song directly addresses Drake's early acting career, presents him as deceitful and manipulative. Kendrick criticizes Drake for exploiting cultural features for personal gain and questions the authenticity of his narratives. The track also indirectly comments on Drake's familial relationship, suggesting that he lacks genuine understanding of parental responsibilities. Kendrick's lyrics reflect a deep-seated disillusionment with Drake's public persona, contributing to a highly personal edge to their ongoing beef.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I'm going to ask you, any standout moments in Phase 2? And also, again, I thought Push Ups was really good, and it was really damning, but then the Taylor Made freestyle kind of fucked that up, but...
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt as well. I was like, I remember hearing the first Drake release, and I was like, oh, the size 7 shoe line. You got him.
I'm a size 7 shoe. Yeah.
With no...
Well, you're a short king. Short king week is over, sadly.
We'll continue.
But it was like, it was one of those things where I was like, ooh, he got him with no idea of like what where was this coming. Was going to... Like, that is the mildest yeah. situation for what is coming. And then I remember when Drake... Kendrick released Euphoria, that's what this one is, right?
I'm like, Euphoria
I'm like,
after.
Which song is which? That was the one where I was like, oh, this is about to get really
ugly.
That's when it like started to really take over my feed,
yeah.
and it. I feel like the social media response really fired up was yeah. after Kendrick.
Yeah. So I liked Push Ups. Push Ups was like a fun day because. The initial song had leaked, and it really, like, we were all kind of wondering if it was, like, AI or not.
Yeah.
And then Drake actually leaks the song to DJ Academics, mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, here's, like, the real song.
Mm-hmm.
And then Academics plays it, and then we're all, like, kind of, like, diving in on it. And, like, it was very much, like, this is another thing I said in my video. I was like, Drake is probably going to go at everybody, because everybody was kind of piling up on him. Like, yo, what did he do to get everybody that mad? Mm-hmm. And... So Drake essentially goes at everybody, and I thought Push Ups was a good song. I feel like there's been a lot of good music
mm-hmm.
from both artists in
yeah,
this whole battle.
And it's danceable and fun and other stuff.
So Drop and Give Me 50. Like, it was good, and he was essentially, like, the whole ethos of Drop and Give Me 50 was the fact that, like, he was saying that Kendrick Lamar's former label head, Top Dog, was still getting 50% of Kendrick Lamar's masters. Like,
yeah.
His old, mm-hmm. like, his, and,
so, and then also there is a video where they do make Kendrick do push-ups.
No. So the video was Kendrick has a Finsta that's not that Finsta. It's like mm-hmm. really popular. He has like 800,000 followers. So it's not really a Finsta, mm-hmm. but like Kendrick Lamar's Instagram, essentially,
mm-hmm.
he has a video of him like doing like push-ups and, you know, because like he's very low-key. He's not like trying to be famous. Like
mm-hmm.
So Kendrick Lamar could really effectively move amongst the people, the populace in mm-hmm. a way that like Drake can't.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's a video of him like doing push-ups, like working out outside like in LA. And that's why as part of like the Drop and Give Me 50, but also Drop and Give Me 50%.
Interesting.
And then with the TaylorMade freestyle, I remember when I was on the way to a party in Jersey when that came out, and I was in a packed Uber, and I made everybody in the Uber shut up so we could listen to it. And at the time, I was like, whoa, like, this is like, is that AI? Like,
yeah.
It was kind of like very like Drake. It's like Drake is very online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I know you two are online, but Drake is very
Drake
online.
Is very online.
Drake is Grass Nation, even if he doesn't know.
He said he would be a great podcast guest.
Yo.
Yeah.
And can I say, like, unconfirmed rumor that I've heard from someone who used to have a flirtation with Drake? She said that Drake texts too much.
Texts too much?
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just one of those guys that's constantly texting.
Good morning, queen.
Good morning, queen. How are you? What are you eating right now? What are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing? Like,
he's on his phone.
He's on his phone, which is just confirming what
you
said.
I would love to see what his screen time is like.
Oh, my God.
And I feel like the fact that he used AI when previously, in the days before that, there were, like, two different AI Kendrick Lamar diss tracks that were fake that had mm-hmm. come out, that had gone viral. And, you know, for him to use AI to kind of, like, dub over his voices like Tupac was, like, a good troll, but also... As we know how the beef came down, if it was about authenticity and people
yeah.
were going at his authenticity to, like, speak as Tupac was, like, the worst thing he could have
yeah,
possibly done.
Yeah, it was a
done.
Big misstep.
Oh, huge
that
misstep.
That made him lose points.
Yeah, I was, like, I never really, like, I was, like, surprised
yeah.
by the use of AI voices and to, like, yeah, kind of. Well, first of all, someone who's not with us any longer to like totally. Use their voice and be like, this is what is very weird. And then also to use a AI Snoop Dogg, I feel like is weird.
But it's
too.
Like an intentional like West Coast.
Yeah. Basically, like, you know, because there's this huge concert that happened in 2012 where they metaphorically passed Kendrick Lamar the torch. Where, like, Kendrick Lamar performed with, like, Snoop, and Snoop passed him the torch. Like, oh, you're the one that's carrying the West Coast now.
Okay.
So that was, like, part of it. And also just, like, you know, Snoop and Kendrick are good friends. Like,
okay.
So it was, like, meant to be, like, you know, Drake was, like, saying, like, at this point, like, Kendrick hadn't responded. He dropped Like That in March.
Yeah.
Drake drops Push-Ups. And then, you know, Drake, you know, in his beef against, like, Meek Mill.
Yeah.
Like, he dropped Charged Up, and then he dropped Back to Back. Like, Drake likes to, like, up the ante.
Yeah.
Because a lot of, like, with, like, beefing and
which
in
now I feel like that's kind of the strategy.
It's a strategy.
As we're talking to
As we'll get into phase three, it's a strategy, right? It's like you almost want to, like, step on the record of the person that you're beefing against, right? You know, so it's about, like, getting the records, like, out as, like, soon and, like, kind of, like, stacking them on top of each other. And it's crazy because Drake was the one that was pushing the pace in a lot of his previous beefs, and Kendrick effectively used that, like, against him.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll get into phase three
phase
now.
Phase three.
Phase three.
Here we go.
This is when it gets really crazy. And again, like, the tracks, like, the days between the tracks get shorter and shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
And not even days, sometimes minutes.
Yes.
So,
yes.
On May 3rd, Kendrick Lamar's 616 in LA drops on Instagram, marking, which we were saying, Adam Mosseri is probably so happy that that fucking happened on Instagram.
Yeah, totally.
Marking his second diss track aimed at Drake. Lamar takes not only at Drake, but also at his record label, OVO Sound, marking the first direct attack on them. He suggests infiltration. Basically, he's just like, I have a mole inside your record. Like, one of your people, Drake, is snitching and telling me all your shit. Additionally, Lamar references Drake's hit Tootsie Slide, implying Drake won't be able to smoothly maneuver his way out of the confrontation presented in 616 LA. He playfully mocks Drake's reliance on internet culture, adding depth to their lyrical sparring. The track intensifies the tension between the two rappers, setting the stage for further retaliation and escalating the feud to new heights. The art for 616 is also like Drake's Ozempic, like, prescription
was,
or something.
No, for 616 in LA, it was just a Maybach glove.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, it was just a Maybach glove, and then eventually, as you say, the prescription photo
for
comes
Drake's
in.
Ozempic, right?
Yeah, it comes in the neck, which you're about to mention after this. Yeah.
So May 3rd, Drake fires back at Kendrick with Family Matters, a scathing diss track released on multiple platforms. And it came with the music video too, which was crazy. In the song, Drake targets
the amount of content being released is unbelievable.
Guys, we're not even like halfway through. Drake targets not only Lamar, but several other rappers, including Future, Rick Ross, A$AP Rocky, Kanye, The Weeknd, and Metro Boomin. The track serves as a response to Lamar's recent disses, including Champagne Moments, All to Myself, Show of Hands, Euphoria, and 616 in LA. Drake alleges Lamar's involvement in domestic violence against his partner and suggests infidelity between... Drake alleges that Kendrick Lamar beats his partner, Whitney Alford, and that there was cheating between Whitney and Lamar, and with Lamar's creative partner, Dave Free, even questioning the paternity of one of Lamar's children. Lamar swiftly responds with Meet the Grams within 20 minutes of the release of Family Matters, intensifying their feud. The music video for Family Matters is rich with symbolism, featuring nods to 50 Cent, Pharrell, and Michael Jackson, with references to Lamar's personal life, adding layers to the conflict. Again, right? So 20 minutes later, Kendrick Lamar swiftly counters Drake's Family Matters with Meet the Grams, dropping 20 minutes after Drake's diss track hits the airwaves. Produced by The Alchemist, it deeps into the chilling realm with its haunting piano-driven beats. Lamar doesn't hold back, accusing Drake of parental neglect, sexual exploitation, and even running a sex trafficking ring from his mansion, the Embassy. In a shocking twist, Lamar alleges Drake's involvement in child abandonment and brands him as a sexual predator. The original cover art features featuring allegedly items allegedly stolen from Drake's father and prescription medications with Drake's real name adds a sinister layer. So it's again, that's the prescription to Ozempic. Yeah, and then okay, two more, just a few more guys. Whew. May 4th, Kendrick delivers another major blow to Drake, which with Not Like Us released as his third diss track in a 36-hour period. The song intensifies Lamar's accusations against Drake and OVO Sound record label, alleging Drake's involvement in pedophilia and child sexual abuse with his associates. Lamar portrays Drake as a cultural appropriator who exploits Atlanta's artists for credibility and financial gain. The cover art featuring a bird's eye view of Drake's Toronto residence with sex offender map symbols. Really fucked up.
Yeah.
And then, Jesus Christ. I know, it's really fucked
up. From like the Citizen app. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, on the Citizen app. So it's like the Citizen app view of Drake's house with like sex offender and like multiple. So showing like everybody in Drake's thing.
Wow. It's wild that like the album art, the music videos, like the layers to which they're like coming at each other is not like, it's not just the songs. It's like every single part of the release.
Yes. Okay. Two more things and then we'll
phase three is a big phase.
Phase three. Yeah. Phase three is the biggest phase. May 5th, Drake fires back at Kendrick with the Heart Part 6. A potent diss track released on YouTube sampling Aretha Franklin. The track features cover art showcasing an Instagram comment from Kendrick's fiance, Whitney Alford, made by Kendrick's manager, the guy who allegedly is the father of one of their kids. Drake addresses domestic violence allegations against Lamar and implicates Free in fathering an illegitimate child with Whitney. He vehemently denies previous accusations of pedophilia and claims OVO's sound planted the story about the secret daughter to bait Lamar. Which sounds like something Lady Whistledown would do.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what?
I'll talk about that in a second.
It's very like, well, if I didn't talk about it, it would be suspicious.
Yeah.
That's a good British accent. You speak British very well.
Okay. And basically in that track, the Heart Part 6, Drake is like, you keep calling me a pedophile because you were molested, which is really fucked up and weird.
Oh,
and
my God.
Like, but the thing is, like, Kendrick wasn't molested.
Yes, he kind of made a comment. Oh, God damn it.
It's funny because a lot of people were like, people were so mad about that. And I was like, but the song on Mother I Sober, Kendrick wasn't molested. Mm. And even Drake got that wrong. So it's like still fucked up. But it was also like, Kendrick wasn't molested.
It's so fucked up, yeah. The fact that we have to even say that.
Yeah.
Finally, on May 5th, Metro Boomin, again, who's a producer, is a producer that has beef against Drake. Drake and Push Up says, why don't you go back to making drums? So, like, beats, like, get out of this beef. So, Metro Boomin released BBL Drizzy.
I was wondering when BBL Drizzy would come into this and what BBL Drizzy, like, is.
Yes, okay. BBL Drizzy is an instrumental track by American record producer Metro Boomin. The track was released on May 5th in response to the ongoing Drake versus Kendrick feud. It samples an AI-generated track by the same name by comedian King Willonis, and it is a notable example of AI sampling in mainstream hip-hop.
Yep.
Metro announced that he would offer... So basically, what he did was he had this beat, and he says, whoever makes the best diss track will get a free beat from me, Metro Boomin.
That's $10,000.
So yeah, basically, I mean, if you're an up-and-coming rapper, of course you want a beat from Metro Boomin.
Yeah.
And then also you won $10,000.
Has anyone won yet?
I haven't announced winners yet.
I don't know. I haven't seen anybody win. It's just the whole thing is just so funny to me because it's just like the thing that like that really stuck out to me the most as someone that was covering this from like 10,000 feet up.
Mm-hmm.
It was like and like that someone that was covering this from 10,000 feet up and I'm putting all of my videos on the record so people will see if I switch up in my opinion, right? People will actively, and I'm sure y'all will understand this too, right? It's like when you make content, when you put stuff out there that people engage with, right? I have to actually stick behind what I say.
Yeah.
So what has been interesting has been to see the sea change that has happened around Drake and Drake's music because a lot of the people that like are like completely anti-Drake now, they're like, fuck him, whatever. It's like, oh, can I curse on this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, sorry. So to a lot of people that are like, fuck Drake, I can't stand him, right? Like, we're at his concert 2 months ago.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, it's like, also, it's like, you know, Drake has had a lot of, like, weird smoke about him and, like, underage women, right? That is, no, underage girls, right?
Yeah.
Like, underage girls, right?
Has See, there we go, feminist hat back on.
Yeah, you know, has had a lot of weird smoke with him and underage girls, right? But, like, for years, we've all known this.
Yeah.
And people have still used his lyrics as Instagram captions. People still, like, so it's, like, kind of, like, now that it's, like, cool to, like, hate on Drake, and it's always been cool to clown Drake, but now that it's cool to vehemently hate him, like, it's been, like, a pylon. And also, like, because of the memes, because BBL Drizzy was so catchy, it's kind of, like, it's engaged everybody. I got a comment on my YouTube video that said, like, oh, like, now you too can, like, hate Drake from the comfort of your own home. Like, you too can make a Drake diss track from the comfort of your own home. So it's just, like, interesting to see the change. And also, like, you know, Drake responding on the Hard Part 6 with, like, saying, like, I'm too famous to be a pedophile. It's like, bro, like,
those are not mutually exclusive. If we've seen anything in history, it's that
his whole argument is that, like, is that if he was a pedophile, we would know by now. But as you were saying, Elise,
it's actually very, it's much easier for famous people to, like, cover up that behavior and do it with impunity. I mean, it's,
I could.
That's not a good argument, I would say.
Oh, terrible.
It's I could kind of see, again, where he was coming from, but that's, like, that's someone who doesn't read and engage with, like, what's going on and all that stuff. Because to him, he's like, if I was a pedophile, you would, there would be an exposé. But it's just, like, you are not engaging with culture, really, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you move culture, right? Yeah. Like, you have to understand, Drake exists in a world where we can't even comment on his Instagram posts.
Yeah.
Right? Do you know, like, we don't have that feature. You don't have a feature where you could just, like, turn off, you can turn off all comments, but his comments are limited, right?
Yeah.
So even in his highly online world, it's very curated, right? And also, like, something that Van Lathan, formerly of TMZ, but now, like, he does his own stuff, like, Van Lathan said is that, like, Drake and a lot of these rappers exist in, like, mini fiefdoms where, like, all these dudes are, like, eating off of them.
Yeah, so well, we say Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like, all these people are eating off of him, so they're not going to tell him, like, they're not going to tell the emperor, like, hey, like, you know, you're not wearing any pants.
Yeah. And there's a kid here.
Right? So, right, because they're sitting in, exactly, right? Like, so they're sitting in the studio, like, of course, dude, like, you can't be a pedophile, but, like, you're too famous to be a pedophile. It's like, what, bro? Like, if there's anything that we've learned over the last, like, 50 years, right? I'll say 10 specifically.
I would, like, say even 5.
Even 5, right?
Yeah.
Is that you are damn well sure not too famous to be a pedophile. Like, you know what I mean? If anything, you being more famous, like you said already, like, makes it easier for you to get away with it. So,
but again, I mean, I'm not going to say that Drake isn't or is a pedophile, but I'm just going to say,
of course,
like, let's say for benefit of the doubt that he just has this, like, thing where he's texting and there's smoke around, but, like, he's not whatever. I think in his mind, yeah, like, but for somebody who doesn't engage with the Harvey Weinstein thing, who doesn't understand, like, it's like, whatever. So, from your thing, it sounds like you feel like Kendrick won. Who do you feel won this battle? And who lost?
Well, I feel like in, like, the discourse that I see is all that Kendrick won, so I think that's, like, kind of what matters ultimately, like, if that's what people are largely saying, then it feels like you did win. I mean, it is funny, like, that Kendrick keeps getting compared to Taylor Swift because he did release, like, a Tortured Poets level amount of songs about Drake. Like, he almost has a full Drake diss album.
It was like an EP.
Point.
So, like,
you, that's kind of like the strategy now.
Though. Yeah.
Like, the rumor was, like, a couple things. The first thing is that the rumor is, like, when Kendrick dropped Like That, like, I was always hearing on the street that Kendrick had other songs in the tuck, which became clearly evident by the fact that he was able to drop 4 of them in a week.
Yeah.
Right? Second, running a rap beef is about, like, public perception.
Yeah.
It's even more so than the lyrics in some ways, right? It is about, like, the discourse. Like, it is about, like, you know, how people are talking about it, even going back to, like, the earliest days of it. Like, you know, and it is about, like, you know, how people, like, see you. It's about changing public perception. You know, with, like, you know, with Drake going against, like, Meek Mill and back-to-back, like, he kind of clowned him. Is like, because that was when Meek Mill was dating Nicki Minaj.
And
is that a world tour? or your girls tour, right?
Yeah.
That changed the way that we looked at Meek Mill, because at the time Meek Mill was like kind of rising to be one of the top artists in the game, right?
Yeah.
And with like Family Matters dropping, Family Matters had that Family Matters, I think, is a great, that's my favorite song of all the disses.
Interesting. And mm-hmm. I thought that the video was like, fuck, this is a low blow. Mm-hmm. Kendrick mentioned a Chinese restaurant. Drake and all his friends bought out the Chinese restaurant. The owners came out.
Oh, yeah, wearing all the chains. And
wow.
Kendrick really, and this goes to that sea change, right? Like, yeah. Kendrick really changed how people perceived Drake as an artist. Mm. Like, we've always been shutting off our brains. Mm-hmm. Call back. Right?
Yeah.
We've always been shutting off our brains in some ways to listen to Drake and to engage with his music. But Kendrick, like, put that to the forefront, right? Mm-hmm. And also, like, when a diss track is a club track, like, we got Back to Back as a club track.
Yeah, that was fun.
Fuck with Dre Day is a club track. Hit 'Em Up, mm-hmm. that's Tupac against Biggie Smalls. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's a club track. When a diss track is a club track, it allows it to stick more.
Yeah.
And Not Like Us is a club track, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Therefore, in today's day and age, club tracks become memes, because that's how music travels. Now that it travels as memes. So now you want to see everybody do the Crip Walk to, like, one rapper calling another rapper a pedophile.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, in my live, it's something I was saying, like, when you're putting stuff on the right, in my live, I was like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It took me two or three listens to, like, enjoy Not Like Us. At first I wasn't that into it, mm-hmm. but I'm like, yo, like, and then it's a catchy song. A catchy song is a catchy song.
Yeah.
Like OVO, like, but it's like, it's still weird. Like, certified lover boy, certified pedophile. Like, it's like,
yeah,
that's like look how far we've fallen.
Well, yeah. And like, I guess this goes to my last question about phase 3 is just that, like, to me, I'm like, do any of these men care about women? Like,
oh no,
they're both hurling insults at each other, but they both have a decorated background supporting abusers. Drake was supporting Tory Lanez within the last year, right? He has this smoke about him with the underage girls, which, you know, is alleged. And as you pointed out, Jack, is that Kendrick has released a song with rapper Kodak Black. He released it in 2022. Who Kodak Black in 2021, not even a year after he released the song in 2022. In 2021, Kodak Black got charged with raping a teenage girl and accepted a plea deal and pleaded guilty to first degree assault. So, that's Kendrick Lamar doing that. And Kendrick still has not publicly acknowledged Drake's allegations of domestic violence.
Nope.
There's no denial. There's no nothing. I think if you're saying, like, if you're being unbiased, it's like, well, at least Drake denied that he's a pedophile.
Yeah, word.
Kendrick's not even acknowledging that, you know? So, it's like, come on, you know? And Kendrick's only response is like, I knew you were going to go there. That's why I went deep, too. And it's like, so you do what you want, like, or your girlfriend or whatever. So it's like, these guys don't care. Like, and then they're making, again, people dance to the, it's like, you guys don't, I don't know.
The thing is, like, with hip-hop beef, like, women have always been collateral damage. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a shame, even with, like, Tupac and Biggie Smalls, like, the opening line of, like, Hit 'Em Up, it's like, that's why I fucked your girl.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and this is when Tupac had done a song with Faith Evans.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, like, oh, like, I had sex with Faith Evans, and Faith Evans was Biggie Smalls' girl at the time. Or even, like, Jay-Z saying that, like, he
probably cheated on her with the whole fucking world.
Oh, yeah, and was abusive.
And beat the shit out of her,
Shit out of her, and Lil' Kim. Like, you know what I mean? Kim, like, yeah. Biggie was an abusive man, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, or it's funny because, like, Drake was the first person to mention family. He's, like, on push-ups, he's, like, I'd be with them bodyguards like Whitney, mentioning Whitney Alford, Kendrick Lamar's, the mother of Kendrick Lamar's children, mm-hmm. right? Like, so it's like women have always been... Mm-hmm. I've always been, like, collateral damage and, like, rap beef. It's, like, actually, like, really abhorrent. It's, like, really sad. And it's funny because, like, Kendrick would... He the way he copped to, like, having Kodak Black on his record was kind of like, because Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers was all about, like, coming clean, you know what I mean? It's almost like his, like, his Scientology, I'm going clear, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, bullshit. You know, and, like, even, like, his song Savior, like, I am not your savior, like, kind of like that was almost like to rebuke the no-name criticism of, like, how come you don't speak out about, like, black issues and stuff like that, and him just trying to be like, don't look to, like, celebrities to be, like, which is like a cop-out. It's
yeah,
a cop-out,
exactly.
Right? And like having Kodak Black
but
is a way
again, Kendrick is another one. People talk about his lyrics. Sorry, I cut you off. But
that's
like,
fine.
He doesn't read.
That's another thing too. It's like
he doesn't read.
In some ways, like people, in some ways, like Kendrick Lamar means a lot to the black community, right? All Right was an anthem, is an anthem for a protest. We gonna be all right, like 100%, right? But there is like a commodification. Kendrick Lamar made like came out with these like sneakers that had like Bloods and Crips on them for Nike. Stupid, yeah. You know what I mean? Like there is like. There, like Kendrick, when's the last time you saw Kendrick Lamar at a protest? Has he said anything about Palestine and Gaza? No. At least Drake signed a ceasefire. Drake signed the ceasefire thing, right? Like, and Drake is one of the most famous Jewish people on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You I didn't even think about that.
You could really say he is the most famous Jewish person on the planet. Like, you could really make that argument. And Drake signed a ceasefire early in the, so it's like, Kendrick Lamar hasn't said anything about
Kendrick
that.
Kendrick does not say, that's the thing, like, he's won the Pulitzer, he says all these things about the black experience, but he does not ever speak publicly about any issue. So, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think, like, did he ever say, like, Black Lives Matter? Has he ever said, like...
I mean, he has. I mean, he did. Like, it's like, it's more of, like...
He's not at the protest. He's not, like, really, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he shows up, but it's not necessarily... Basically, it's like, when you don't say anything, you allow the audience to be able to paint you with a broad brush.
Yeah.
And, like, something Kendrick Lamar does mean a lot to the black community. And also, because of, like, Drake being, like, Canadian and America's just, like, inherent, like, disdain for Canadians, right? And, like, you know... People like not understanding Toronto and how like Toronto has many different cultures in one, so it makes sense for Drake to like be involved with like Caribbean culture, British culture, Latin culture, Indian culture. Like it makes sense for him to do that. But Americans look at that like, yo, you're dancing around all these different things. You're a culture vulture. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like so, it's like that opened Drake up for that line of criticism, and like. It's like Americans like to have everything in like a nice, concise box.
Yeah.
So there's like all of these different things. And I also feel like, and something else Van said, that's like Drake does not have, like Drake probably has low black cultural IQ, that in like kind of criticizing Kendrick for these things would not realize that a lot of black people would be like, yo, that's our man. So what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, when he says you make music that sounds like
Try to get the slaves free.
But again, it's the fiefdom.
But it was, people, yes, that was probably the last thing Drake should have said. But like, Drake is a black American. His father's African American. Yes, he comes from slaves.
There was a whole discourse on the internet about Drake not really being black and all this stuff. And it's like, okay. Well, one last thing before we move on to Grassroots, because this has been a very
rich topic.
Is what we knew.
This is what we do here.
This is what we do, but also we've been teasing it. Again, people are going to walk away from this episode knowing everything. But just to talk about, now we're going to talk about the internet a little bit before we move on to the last segment of the podcast. And in a post that I really loved, you talked recently in which you broke down the way that, like, how the internet works now in 2024 has affected the thinking and polarization of fandoms in a way that has never existed before. And that post, your caption says, "The internet has made the Kendrick Drake beef fun, but also pretty weird. The conspiracy theories, dueling fandoms, and ire on both sides is sad to see, but an indicator of our times. It's low-key and high-key a little sad. Also, at the end of this video, I'm going to make a longer video on the whole thing, but I'm really feeling like, unless something changes, I'm going to leave this for a few." So, you are tired.
Whatever.
But I'm also just like, how do you feel like... Everyone talks about objectivity, like, not existing anymore, and, like, how we all, like, consume things that confirm biases in terms of, like, Republican and Democrat and all this stuff. But, like, I thought it was so interesting that you brought that up in, like, this rap beef. And how do you feel? So I'm just, like, wanted to talk a little bit more about that.
I believe it with my whole heart, because, like, there are people, there are Drake fans that think Drake didn't lose the beef. There are Kendrick Lamar fans that think that Drake is, like, that he's like Drake Epstein, like that we're on the verge of like seeing Drake being outed for, you know, like sex trafficking, right? Like it's like, and these fans like are able to retreat to their sides of the internet, and they're only going to be fed content that's going to affirm their biases. So I'm going to have, and because like when you engage with content now, you engage with content, like you're constantly snacking on things, especially with TikTok, you're snacking on content. That's essentially what TikTok is. You're snacking on content. So like you're seeing like five videos that tell you that Drake won the beef. And then you see me that's like kind of giving you both sides to it. You're just like, you're biased. But you didn't see the previous four or five videos of when I kind of gave them equal smoke on either sides, right?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like rap beef in particular, because it's based on conversation.
Yeah.
It is very popular vote. Oh. That is how generally, you know, it is popular vote.
It's, and Drake is not winning the Electoral College.
And it's not Electoral College. It's popular vote. But what's happening is that the internet is so segmented that people do not want to certify the election. and they're denying the results, even though the popular vote, because as you say, concrete thing, hello, Not Like Us, number one song in the country
it's exactly right. It's almost like, you know, it's like December, it's like November 9th, 2020, and like Trump is still saying the election's stolen, but it's like Arizona just went for Joe Biden. Like, you know what
he's
I mean?
He's in
like,
the White House. And
they didn't want to give him the
they
shit.
They didn't want to give him the shit. So it's like kind of like, yo, like, you know, Not Like Us is the number one song in the country. Like, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know, like, I don't know, I can't convince you that this is the thing, right?
And that's what's happening with Fox News right now.
Well, that's what I will say is that the how I measure public perception who won the beef is that at my UCB show last week, one of the people on my character team had a punchline that was like this character saying that Drake won, and it was like the joke was for this character who doesn't know anything to say that Drake won, and it got a really big response from the UCB audience. So I was like, clearly the public perception is that Kendrick won.
In the whitest corners of white culture.
I was like, if an alt comedy theater audience is like, ah, yes. Because this is funny because we all know Kendrick won the beef. I'm like, then, that speaks volumes.
If it speaks to that, my mom was asking me about it, and my mom knew that Kendrick Lamar won. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I just gotta say sorry. Like, Tom Hanks asked Chet Hanks to explain the beef, and then Chet shared the screenshots.
What accent did he do it in?
Well, he wrote it, but it was a lot of AAVE.
Yeah.
But even Tom Hanks was like, wow. Kendrick
wow.
Yeah.
Like, and if Tom Hanks comes out in favor of you, I mean.
So that's what I'm saying. And even like, I'm sure even like Drake understands that he lost the beef, right? Like it's.
And I feel like, how can Drake come back by this? I feel like if he gets in a PR relationship with Millie. Oh.
He just Bobby Brown?
Sorry,
you have to specify what
that
Millie.
Is hilarious.
Millie Tamarez.
That
Drake,
is hilarious.
Give me $1 million. No one will talk about how you lost. You will be with a 34-year-old fat girlfriend. The internet will shift. God. You will. Nothing will make you look better at this moment.
You saying that reminds me of I used to listen to a lot of Desus and Mero.
Yes.
And they had the problematic light. And like, you deserve the problematic life for that one.
I'm just saying, a peer relationship would be equally beneficial. He would give me
so
money.
Good.
And open invitation to come on the pod,
open
Drake.
Open invitation
Aubrey?
To come on the pod. He likes really old women. Let's put money where your mouth is. He says he likes fat women. Let's go.
Here's what I'll say, okay? Like, and we can take this to the bank, okay? Drake makes good music.
He does.
He makes good music.
I like
and
it.
And I am telling you, Drake could totally have another top 10 single before the end of this year.
I believe
and it. And the whole collective consciousness will still understand that, like, all of these things that we learned about him, but we will still go up to it like it was, like, yesterday.
I mean, Trump is a terrible person, but his tweets are fire. Some of the tweets are funny.
The tweets are funny.
What he said about Elon Musk on True Social, fire.
The tweets are
funny. Okay, we have to get to grass.
Okay, we have
Trump
to get to our final
like,
we
have.
Speaking of
we have to end
problematic women,
yes!
This is our final segment of every episode. It is called Grasshole of the Week. It is where we declare someone who needs to log off the most.
After Drake.
Drake will get a loving you need to log off.
When
maybe
he was on that Bobby
loving.
Altahoff, what's it, Alta Antahoff podcast? That's how I knew he's so online.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he...
that, like, boring girl?
Yeah.
He would fucking knock her out of the park.
Yeah, well, listen, that's a discourse for
a
different day.
That's a discourse, yeah.
Today's grasshole, this week's grasshole, is a woman from TikTok, very low vibration. I will say this is a very low vibrational page.
Okay.
Yes.
She is known as @firedmom. So this week's grass hole comes from the world of a parental estrangement TikTok.
Yeah, that's a whole fucking thing. That's a whole thing.
So fired mom. Her name is Dawn. She is a Gen X lady. I was originally going to put her as a boomer, but in one of the videos I watched of her, she had just bought a shirt that said Generation X raised on hose, water, and neglect. Don't know what okay. that means, but okay. she identifies
hose,
as
water,
Gen
like
X.
Like drinking water out of a hose.
Well, it's hose spelled H-O-E-S. So like,
Like,
so I don't really understand how, speaking of rap beef, I don't understand how hoes kind of play into this, is on the shirt.
But Gen X is weird. We know that.
So Dawn is an estranged parent influencer. And what this means is that her kids have all stopped speaking to her.
Oh.
Yes.
And she wants to create, according to her, a safe space on her page for other parents whose kids don't talk to them.
That's a thing.
To find support. So a lot of her videos are like long and boring, but here are just like some titles of videos. So one, this one is from May 5th. It's called Boundaries Equal It's My Way or the Highway. And it's her talking about how like her daughter-in-law tried to put in boundaries, but that's actually her like exerting control over her. Other video titles include Is Estrangement Part of Cancel Culture?
I mean,
It's Time to See Your Toxic Parents in a Different Light. Mother's Day Message for Villainized Mothers. Why Boy Moms Are at a Disadvantage Building Relationships with Their Daughter-in-Laws.
Wow.
So this is the vibe of Dawn's page. Initial reactions to Dawn.
The call's coming from inside the house.
Well,
very much so.
It's very apparent.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, two things, right? One is like these titles sound like if the evil stepmother from Snow White had a TikTok.
Absolutely.
And two, just to tie it back to hip hop, it's that meme that says like 50 Cent got shot 9 times and every day proves why he got shot. And it's because he's a dick.
He's a dick.
And he pisses people off. And it's the same thing as this woman.
And also an abuser.
But listen, but this woman, I'm like, you're surprised that your kids don't talk to you?
She tried to instill boundaries, my way or the highway. It's funny because like that sounds like something a parent would do.
Yeah. It's so like the gulf between how she thinks she's what she wants to communicate and what she's actually communicating is so wide. And again, like, I was going to try to play some of these videos, but they're so long and it takes her forever to, like, get to the point. So just from the video titles alone, you're getting the vibe. But the reason that she's this week's grass hole, so she doesn't have an enormous following. She's only got, like, 26,800 followers on TikTok, which is really
26,800?
Yeah, so it's not, like, I mean, she doesn't have no following, but it's not like we talk about people on here who have like
millions
or 800,000. She's not there, but some of her videos will get major views because of her content.
It's rage bait too.
So
true.
She's recently been going super viral on TikTok for her Why I'm Estranged video, which is currently at 2.8 million views.
Oh my God.
Where she tells the story of why.
Woman?
She is estranged.
White woman?
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. You're right. True.
White woman always wearing a baseball cap.
Come on.
White woman always wearing a baseball cap. I would say, like, not the full Karen haircut, but, like, a Karen lob type haircut where she's got, like, the PC short kind of bob situation.
Okay.
And then glasses. So, okay, basically the way her story goes is that she says that she suffered from a concussion and that this concussion made her erratic and dramatic and that her behavior was uncontrollable by her and horrible. She doesn't go into detail on what this behavior is. She says that she has apologized, but I will say that if you watch the video, it's not giving remorseful. She also says that prior to the concussion, she had been working with her therapist for years to improve her relationship with her children. So, like, she says that, like, she tries to pin everything on this concussion that she had and that she was acting bad because of the concussion. But then she's also like, but actually I was working with my therapist for years ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, she has 3 kids. 2 of them were already contact estranged.
Oh, okay.
So then she says that basically when her daughter-in-law was pregnant, that the daughter-in-law, who she refers to as a flying monkey, which is, like, a term that's used in, like, therapy speak for, like, if you have if you're trying to like get a narcissist out of your life, their flying monkeys are like people who will do their bidding on behalf of the narcissist. So let's say you're like trying to cut someone out, but you have some, but they have like a friend who will be like, hey, you know, so-and-so really wants to get in touch with you. So that's how she refers to her daughter-in-law, which is interesting because it kind of implies that she thinks her son is a narcissist.
Terrible.
But also, I think that she is using the phrase wrong and she thinks her daughter is the her daughter-in-law is a narcissist. But basically, she says the daughter-in-law put her foot down while pregnant because she couldn't handle the emotion, like, this woman's level of emotionality, and that it was actually, like, harming her physically and stressing her out so much during her pregnancy. It was, like, causing her, like, physical issues. And so she, again, she's always using this phrase, like, put her foot down. And she basically says that it was at this point during her pregnancy, after some kind of altercation with her, that the daughter-in-law put her foot down. And then her son came to her and was like, I feel that you're emotionally abusive. To which she responded, no, I was emotionally neglectful.
Okay.
Correction.
Correction. Not abusive, just neglectful. Just neglectful. And it's like, okay.
What is, like, tomato, tomato, you know?
Yeah, really. So this video has been viewed 2.8 million times, not received well. People noted that she, like, kind of seems to hate her daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
Again, also, calling her a flying monkey is not good.
It's her daughter-in-law, too. So this is, like, her son's wife. That's,
yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah. It's, and basically, like, if you look up Fired Mom on TikTok, you'll see there are tons and tons of stitches. So since that, since Why I'm Estranged, she's posted another 24 videos.
Jesus Christ.
One of them is just screenshots of texts between her and her estranged daughter-in-law, most of which are, like, them interacting nicely. But then the final slide reads, the final two messages were left unread. I had been blocked due to sending those messages while severely manic and bordering on psychosis. I apologized multiple times. None of the apology messages are included in this thing. I apologized multiple times without justifying what happened. It didn't matter. The final message was sent days before they first went no contact because of something I said while holding their son for the first time. Heartbreak emoji. So then it's like, well, what did you say?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So she follows up in another video and says that what she said was, I guess she met this baby and just immediately turned to the wife and said, does it piss you off that the baby looks so much like her dad? Which isn't, like, that bad of a thing.
Aren't babies supposed to look like the father? Isn't that the whole
evolution thing? As far as, like, comments go, it seems like not that big of a comment.
But also, like, she's a crazy bitch. Like, don't say shit.
So basically, like, according to her, immediately after this comment, her son basically called her and was like, look, you're always coming at my wife. Like, we're going to take a break. So obviously this comment was part of a larger string of just kind hard. Of her always saying stuff. And also in this video, she says this line, I have boys, so I don't really understand the sensitivity of females.
Oh, my God.
Which just is immediate. It's one of those things where you're immediately like, and that's one of the big issues with you. She's, all of her videos are like, she thinks she's making her case, but it's little tells like that where you're like, oh, you're not it.
I think that starting with that she had a concussion and was a bitch, like, there's just nothing, I don't feel any sympathy for her, like, but it's also like, like you're saying, go touch grass, get off the fucking internet.
Yeah, so where this all ends is, so there's a Reddit called Estranged to Empowered, and someone has posted in this Reddit claiming to be the daughter-in-law. It's unclear if it actually is. A lot of these posts have been deleted.
Uh-huh.
But the posts in which are purported to be from the daughter-in-law, she says things like, she didn't just drive by our home. One day she followed me in her car. She literally went down side streets in order to get behind me and follow me. She tracked our home sale on Zillow, and when we moved, monitored it and made TikToks about it. She probably has a Google alert on us and will be forever looking over our shoulder no matter how far we move away. It's a scary situation. She leaves out a lot. I've made comments about other hurtful things she's done to me before, and she even said, did it piss you off that everyone says he looks like his dad? That didn't even piss me off. Hurt, yeah, a bit, but it wasn't the end of the world. What made us take a break was the fact that after she said that, she wouldn't leave us alone when we wanted space and was leaving us angry voicemails saying I was overly sensitive and her son had anger issues. We just wanted a week or two to chill out, and we weren't even allowed that. It's her world. We're all just living in it. So basically, it's her being like, it wasn't even that comment. It's that when we were like, hey, we want to take a break because you're kind of always coming at us and like we're in a vulnerable state, she kept on going. And now she is basically building an entire platform and brand off of being
a fired mom.
Yeah, a fired mom and estranged from her kids. And like, she's going to be able to monetize this TikTok soon. And
you see, this is an interesting, okay, another callback, right? TikTok allows things to go viral, right? Mm-hmm. To a wider audience than it would normally be. Like in the early internet, or maybe even 2010s in a bit, to 2000s internet, she would have a blog and it would go to other strange parents and they would communicate with each other. It'd be a small group.
It'd be private.
It'd be more or less private, right? Like it wouldn't be everybody else kind of engaging with it. But because TikTok's about giving you like rage and insightful, stuff, mm-hmm. right? It allows it to go crazy viral to a whole amount of people, right? It gets super big and she hit the viral lottery now, but it's essentially everybody just hate commenting on her, like tearing her down, and everybody just dunking it, everybody stitching it, and then mm-hmm. with their own opinions.
Yeah, she doesn't care. She doesn't even care from people that she loves. Like, you think she's gonna give a shit? I think
it's crazy.
Strategically, maybe she should enter a PR relationship with Drake.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Drake and Dawn. Yeah.
Drake and Dawn.
No, wow. But Sandy wouldn't like that because Drake has a really good close relationship with his mother, Sandy.
Yeah, actually, he's very close to his mom. Yeah.
No, yeah, I don't think that he would like. Yeah.
Let's go back to Drake getting an PR relationship
with Millie Bobby Brown.
No, with me. Oh, I need debt paid, guys. I feel like he pays me $1 million. I'll go to like Carbone with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing is like, I don't think it's that bad if someone wanted to carve out a space on the internet for people who are estranged from their kids to talk about it. That's totally different. But once you watch her TikToks and her page, it is very clear that she is trying to get people on her side. Yeah. And that also this TikTok is kind of another phase of her harassing her mm-hmm. estranged children and daughter-in-law. Because obviously, like, there are people who, like, I don't know her. I'm not going to go find her daughter-in-law. But there are people in the world who do know her and be like, oh my gosh, this is about Carrie, and this is about them, and then we'll think, etc., about them. Like it's a facet of her harassing her estranged children.
TikTok allows anybody to go viral. It's almost like if you went to an AA meeting and all of a sudden, like that AA meeting just went crazy viral, and everyone knew all the stories you were sharing.
Right?
Like because like I said before, it would just be like a small community of estranged parents coping with each other.
Yeah,
and they'd be sharing that stuff like you're sharing on the internet, and this is my blog, as whatever. Maybe a couple hundred people would know about it. No. But now we got millions of people that know about this, which allows, it's like, it's not saying that she should not be allowed to share her side of this trauma with her own kids, right?
Yeah.
But it's one thing if she's sharing it with a small community that's also going through the same thing, and the other thing when she's sharing it with the whole internet.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because then it becomes like harassment, right? Like it's.
It is harassment. Yes.
And so for that reason, Dawn at Fired Mom. Go touch grass. Guys, that's the end of our episode. Wow. What an episode it was.
Wow, we
so many
really
layers.
Talked a lot.
I know.
Yeah.
Jack, you were an amazing guest.
Thanks
we
for having
me. We need to have you back on the pod, man.
I would love to come on to talk about
Absolutely.
Anything else.
A super fan.
Special expert guest.
Yes, expert guest. I feel like other shit will happen in hip hop and we'll call you.
It doesn't have to be about hip hop. I'm down to just,
Or just in general, yes. About feminism, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Bring on a man and talk about feminism. Yes, yeah.
Love it. Jacques, where can people find you?
You can find me at @jmorell_jr on all platforms.
And beautiful.
The underscore isn't written out. It's like actually.
We got it. And guys, you can find us at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. You can find me at Pandalise on Instagram and at Elise Navi Dad on TikTok.
You can find me at @Millie_NotSpelledOut Tamaris on Instagram, on TikTok, and at Millie Tamaris on Twitter. I'm still there. I don't know why.
It's good for monitoring.
It's good for monitoring. I have no regrets. But guys, we have again our Patreon. We have the Tarte influencer beef. Elise has been teasing that she's going to cover Snape-wise.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. What? It sounds dark. It sounds demonic. We're going to cover it, but I think
But the teaser is it's from early 2000s Harry Potter fandom. It's a group of women who thought they were spiritually married to Severus Snape.
Well, guys, until
and that'll be on the Patreon.
And then, until then, everyone, go touch grass!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.